Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean, good morning. Is there any guitar player in the world who doesn't say Jeff Beck was the greatest?
I can't think of a single one. Everybody, I mean, they call him the guitar god because when you sit and watch him, you know, take over the instrument, whether it was back in the Yardbird days, back in the mid-60s, or more recently, where he toured with Johnny Depp. He brought along his pal Johnny Depp on his last concert tour. He mesmerized when he was on stage. I mean, they had such great songs that with the Yardbirds. The song, I'm a Man, I spell M-A-N. Mm-hmm. And then there's that amazing guitar lick that is in the song as well, all provided by Jeff Beck. He died on Tuesday. He apparently developed bacterial meningitis and died fairly quickly. People from, you know, all corners of rock and roll are remembering Jeff Beck today. People like Mick Jagger, who tweeted, "With the death of Jeff Beck, we have lost a wonderful man, one of the greatest guitar players in the world." He said that we will all miss him so very much. People like Rod Stewart, that you know, was the vocalist of the Jeff Beck group, said Jeff Beck was on another planet. He took me and Ronnie Wood to the U.S. in the late 60s to form the Jeff Beck Band, and we haven't looked back since. Stewart went on to say, you were the greatest, my man. Thank you so much for everything. And Brian Wilson, Beach Boys, said, "I'm sad to hear about the passing of Jeff Beck. He was a genius guitar player. Me and my band got to see it close up when we toured with him in 2013. It's one of the highlights when he played the song Danny Boy. We both loved that song. Love and mercy to Jeff's family." That was one of the things about Jeff Beck. I mean, he would take songs like you wouldn't expect a killer guitarist to play, like Danny Boy, or one of his most famous pieces that he did is a takeoff of Ravel's Bolero.
Right.
It's a stunning piece of guitar work. Go on YouTube today and watch it. Jeff Beck was only 78 years old.
The more you read about him, the more amazing his career was. And as you say, he worked with just about everybody, including Luciano Pavarotti. Yep. There were film scores that he worked on that I really never knew about till I read about him today. And you name the guitarist in Led Zeppelin or anybody else from that British era, and he knew him or worked with him, or they thought Beck was a better guitar player than they were.
Yeah, he recently played tracks with Ozzy Osbourne. He is an 8-time Grammy winner. He was twice inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, once as a member of the Yardbirds and once as a solo artist.
I remember as a kid, he made a guitar out of, like, I think a picture frame, a cigar box, and some kind of wire from a toy airplane. So he was just born to do what he did. And we'll play a little something from Jeff Beck on the record collection in the next hour here.
Yeah,
it was meningitis?
Bacterial meningitis, yeah. It came on quickly. And he didn't survive very long after it was, diagnosed. But when you watch him play, it's like, you know, anybody else, just standing on a street corner. It looked so effortless to watch him and to see the intricacies of his guitar work was nothing short of truly genius, truly one of the greatest guitar players of all time.
Dean and I have talked to other guitar players who would always say when they would see or hear Jeff Beck, they would just want to go home and throw their guitars away,
yeah,
give up.
I can completely understand that. I mean, really, The only thing that would make this better to me, listening to this right now, is if I was listening on my $2 transistor radio that I bought from Woolworths back in the back in the day.
Are we sure that the Pickwick in Park Ridge is going to live on, Dean?
No, we're not. Actually, this whole thing has been, kind of interesting. I mean, it was almost like a real estate listing when the announcement first came from the current owners of the Pickwick, saying, things have been tough. I may close it. I may not close it. I'm not sure. And then suddenly, people had offers coming in. So, the tease worked. And apparently there are people now interested in taking over ownership. And they're saying that we may learn tonight at 7 o'clock what's going to happen with this landmark theater in downtown Park Ridge. It's been open since 1928. They're saying that it could be a venue for both movies and also live entertainment. Right now it's all speculation. The current owner is saying that a deal is close, but nothing is signed on the dotted line yet.
We'll hope for some good news. Abbott Elementary got some good news, and I haven't watched that show, but everybody raves about it.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's extremely entertaining. It won a couple of nice awards at the Golden Globes the other night. It won 3 different awards. And ABC, I guess, has so much confidence in it that it renewed the show for 2 more seasons. So, we can look forward to seeing Quinta Brunson and company a little bit more in our futures.
You mentioned yesterday that it was peculiar and a little uncomfortable when a Golden Globe Award went to that series about Jeffrey Dahmer, and now one of the relatives of one of the victims is very unhappy with what went on there.
Yeah, the whole thing, remember back in the day when our local Emmy Awards here in Chicago, that the news teams would win awards for horrific stories, and they went on stage so celebratory, and
terrible.
We're so happy that this tragedy happened that I got to report on, and that's kind of what it reminded me of on the Golden Globes, which, by the way, had their second worst ratings of all time. By the way, was the people continue to just not like award shows, which is why I watch them so you don't have to. I provide this public service to you, the public, for this. But anyway, I felt the same way when the actor Evan Peters won a Golden Globe for playing Jeffrey Dahmer. I thought it's creepy. And then his speech wasn't exactly celebratory, but he, thanked all the filmmakers and the crew and his agents and all that, and never said one word about the survivors of this horrific tragedy. And one of the mothers of one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims, Shirley Hughes, mother of Tony, said that the actor should have used this acceptance speech to acknowledge the families of the crimes. The actor did say he hoped that some good would come out of this, but the mother commented by saying nothing good will come out of this whole series. And she said there should have been some respect for the families. We live with these emotions every single day, which I 1,000% agree with that.
Meanwhile, it continues to be very popular on Netflix.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's new streaming this week.
All right, let's start with Al Pacino. He's got his series called Hunters. Final season is going to be kicking off Friday, tomorrow, on Amazon Prime. This is the series about the team of killers looking to take out Hitler once and for all. Also tomorrow, M. Night Shyamalan is bringing the final season of his thriller, Servant, to Apple TV Plus. If you're a Scooby-Doo fan, there is now this animated spinoff that Mindy Kaling is behind. Mindy Kaling, formerly of The Office. It's on HBO Max, called Velma. We also have Jason Momoa, who is part of this rock climbing competition show called The Climb on HBO Max that's running right now. There's an animated comedy on Hulu called Koala Man about a do-gooder trying to protect his Australian town from the forces of evil. Hugh Jackman and Jermaine Clement starring in that one. Also, if you're a dog fan, I think you'll like the new Rob Lowe movie. That's called Dog Gone. He plays a dad who goes with his son on a journey to find their lost pooch. It seems like you're going to need a Kleenex box with this one. All dog movies like that are all tearjerkers. That drops on Netflix on Friday.
I watched that HBO Max 30-minute documentary about the making of the Elvis movie. It's called A Boy from Tupelo.
Yep.
Oh, man. You have a new appreciation not only for Austin Butler, but for Baz Luhrmann.
Yep.
What he did to recreate the world of Elvis, that is a very interesting half hour.
Yeah, it's they dropped that on Sunday. On Elvis's birthday, what would have been his 88th birthday. It's 30 minutes long and definitely worth a watch. I enjoyed it, too.
And I guess the Prince Harry memoir continues to break all kinds of records, doesn't it?
Yeah, in the UK, where, you know, we've been reporting that there's fatigue on the story and that people are sick of Harry and they don't want to hear anymore. On the first day of this book's release, the tell-all memoir called Spare, the book sold 1.4 million copies its first day, and it broke all records for Penguin Random House Publishing for single day sales. So, I don't know. People say I think it's one of those things where people want to say they're sick of it, and then they want to know more details about it at the same time.
I guess.
Wake up.
Well, coming up after 9 o'clock, I will have a dramatic reading from one of the chapters of the book, Dean.
Oh, very nice.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. And Bob, by the way, happy National Disc Jockey Day today. I don't know who proclaimed it as such, but for those of us that used to spend our days playing Precious and Few and You Light Up My Life,
that's right.
Today is the day that you honor our sacrifice of listening to the same song over and over and over again and trying to make it sound interesting each time. National Disc Jockey Day.
Thanks for turning your knob to Bob.
Yeah,
We don't have to feed the parking meters today. Too bad there are no parking meters. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.